Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You will dream it.
Famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is an announcer at the MTV Movie and TV Awards last night.
From the upcoming series, Daisy Jones and the Six, Kylie Rio.
Stunning.
They got it wrong. They tried so hard.
And I have to say, that sounds like I would totally do that.
I bet 97% of the viewers of the 97% of the 12 people watching that last night didn't think twice about it. They said, oh, there's Kylie Rio.
You can't even see you correct it.
Kylie Rio.
Oh, there's Kylie Rio. That's an incredible way
like Elvis
to mess up a name. I mean, switching the letters is, I've done that a lot. That's like a reading thing sometimes when you're just like, this is an overwhelming name and I'm just going to go for it.
That's a Who Weekly mistake too.
Yeah.
Like, this is a Who Weekly mistake.
Also, is Kylie more like Riley or Kylie? Like, you know, that's...
Kylie's more common, I think.
She saw Riley and she thought Kylie.
You know, I feel for this announcer. It's not tough doing that job at the MTV Movie and TV Awards, I'm sure.
You mean it's not
easy? It's not easy. See, clearly, I'm doing the same thing.
I know.
We're all making mistakes.
Why do you think this show isn't live? We'd be a mess. A mess.
Thank God, though. I mean, the MTV Movie and TV Awards made some mistakes last night, but at least they made one good decision, which was awarding Best Song to...
Marry me, say yes.
They said yes.
You know why they gave it in an award. Because they gave J-Lo,
so
like,
J-Lo
the
come.
Generation... No, well, they gave her a generation award. And they threw that in to boot.
She looked amazing. Which is exactly why she goes to these things.
This movie exists, and we will pay homage.
Was the Best Kiss winner the one? Is that why someone said, wow, that didn't go to Zendaya when Jackass Forever won because someone kissed a snake and Zendaya didn't win for her kiss with Tom Holland? The presenter goes, Zendaya didn't win this? I think it's David Spade, actually.
Pretty funny. That's funny.
Pretty funny.
The snake probably attended and Zendaya's busy, you know?
What else is there to say about the MTV Movie and TV Awards? Vanessa Hudgens hosted. Apparently she was good.
Now, there are a lot of actors nominated for playing real women. Julia Garner as Anna Delvey. Amanda Seyfried as Elizabeth Holm. Lady Gaga as Patrizia Reggiani. I guess all it took for women to start getting dimensional leading roles was lying, cheating, and hiring a hitman to kill your husband. Make some noise for our DJ tonight, DJ Snoopadelic.
I was laughing at this E! Headline, inside Chrishell Stouse and G Flip's PDA packed date night at MTV Movie and TV Awards, unscripted, which makes seems like their kiss, their PDA was unscripted, but no, that was the name of the award show. And apparently they, quote, look smitten and exchange kisses and smiles at the awards. Find out more about their date below.
E! Is trying to gaslight us into thinking that G Flip is more famous than I think they actually are. It says G Flip 27, who wore their signature sunglasses indoors, seemed to fit right in with the rest of the cast.
Are we supposed to know that? That G Flip wears sunglasses inside?
Well, MTV News is quite aware of the fact that G Flip wears sunglasses inside and that they have signature sunglasses. We also said we wouldn't talk about the Selling Sunset people anymore, but...
Too bad.
I guess there was a sort of connecting thread. I was surprised. I mean, there was nothing to remark about regarding Vanessa Hudgens, too. Who did her damnedest hosting it. I didn't see a single clip of her hosting it.
True.
But I guess she did a good job. You know?
I guess she did a good job. She always does a good job, but it feels like this event like might as well have not happened. Who's watching it? If not us, who?
The hooligan who sent us the video last night.
I know. Thank you to her.
MTV, thank you so much. Adam DeVello and Skylar. I have to thank Netflix, our leaders. Jason, I thank you guys so much. And most importantly, the whole cast. I wouldn't be standing here. You can't do a reality show without all of every single person that makes it work. So thank you guys so much. And just really quick, I knew about this nomination before I had said, you know, anything about my sexuality. I'm not trying to get really deep with you guys, but the fact that this was voted on after means so much to me because I wasn't sure, you know, how that was going to go. And I thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
But enough about the MTV Movie and TV Awards. Liam Payne went on Logan Paul's, God, what is it called? Impulsive, his podcast, Impulsive.
Why even name it? Why even name it? Why even throw it any sort of attention and name it? Didn't Liam Payne just cheat on his fiance?
Well, allegedly.
What do you mean allegedly?
He dumped his fiance for someone else, but we don't know that it was cheating. We just know that he's with a new woman.
Liam Payne,
a new American
just
woman,
cheated on his fiance after breaking up with her and then getting back together with her and now being seen immediately with a new person. And she's on TikTok like already being like, this fuckhead, you know, like she's
this guy sucks.
Like she's
yes.
like, fuck this guy. So he decides to go on, apparently open himself up to questions where he gets to talk shit about his former bandmates who are more successful than him. Right.
That's exactly what he did.
He said, let me piss off the One Direction community even more than I've pissed them off by being unsuccessful. You know,
but the dynamic is actually it's not even just that he went on a podcast and did this. I think the fact that it is Logan Paul makes it even more pathetic and irritating because he's basically bragging to a complete, not to be rude, but a complete loser. Like,
not to be rude, but a loser.
Dolt. You know,
not to be rude, but.
This complete idiot, this dumb YouTube star, and this is the person that he's, you know, sipping his whiskey next to and trying to impress. It's like the fact that he's trying to impress, of all people, Logan Paul adds like an element of even more sadness to this. You know, it's so dumb and depressing.
And I said, I'll only do it if the right song comes along, otherwise, I'm not bothered. I don't want to tarnish the legacy I have already. I've done something that's already worldwide famous and I've got fucking gold records for it. I said, I don't need to do this. It's not important to me. Ed Sheeran wrote me this song and I thought, oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Here we bloody well go again. Here we go, boys. Pull your shorts up. Off we pop. And yeah, we did the first song. Billion streams. I think it outsold everybody within the band and I was the last to go.
Oh,
and I never
God.
Expected that. And I'm sat there going, it's gone rather well, hasn't it?
If all that you have left is just like weird old shit talking stories about, again, bandmates who are vaguely more successful than you, I would argue some are and some aren't.
But I think the thing is, Liam loves to like run his mouth and Liam loves attention. So even though Louis,
I think they
is
all love
probably
attention.
Objectively not more successful than Liam, we don't see Louis out here embarrassing himself nonstop like Liam does, unfortunately.
Well, you know? I think this is a run. I mean, it's more One Direction fans can speak more to their individual, you know, tendencies to claim attention. But I think I think obviously Liam Payne is on a real run.
So what did he say? He went on Logan Paul and said that One Direction was formed around him, which is a claim that he says he's never told anyone publicly, that a lot of the 1D fans were quick to call bullshit on. He said that Simon Cowell loved him first and formed a band around him. He's like, I've never told anyone this, but this was all like, it began with me. He talks shit about Louis, but then ultimately compliments him at the end of a segment. He says that one of his bandmates threw him against a wall, but didn't reveal which one. And he spent a lot of time kind of just talking shit about Zayn, and then had to apologize for it.
Well, this was also after his ex-fiance took a jab, quote unquote, on TikTok, and old X Factor friend Cher Lloyd.
He also talked about, speaking of English women, he talked about Cheryl.
Don't
vaguely.
Talk about Cheryl.
He talked about Bear.
Do
he
not.
He talked about Bear.
Do
and
not
the
talk
line
about Cheryl.
So he talked about Cheryl briefly, but this is the quote. It's sort of like, I'm not quite sure what the tone is, but I think it's complimentary. He says, to be honest with you, having the kid, it ruined the relationship at that point, but for all the right reasons. I was so excited for him to be born that I was actually worried I wouldn't love him enough. So he kind of doesn't say anything about Cheryl. He saves his ire for the other men who were in the band with him.
And then he tweets, guys, I wouldn't normally comment on this stuff, but when it's your family, it's hard to let it slide. They mentioned a specific incident involving Zane, which I responded to, but listening back, maybe I didn't articulate myself. Oh, really? I was saying that there will always be things we disagree on, but I will always, always be on his side. That's family. Zane is my brother, and I will stand by him forever. Like, didn't he just, like, talk shit about him?
He talked shit on him, but then even in the clip, he, like, he takes it back. He's like, well, you know, Zane had a tough upbringing and I had a great upbringing, so I wouldn't want to, like, pretend to know what it was like to be Zane. He also references the fact that, like, Zane allegedly beat up Yolanda Hadid, or, like, shoved Yolanda
pushed,
Hadid.
Okay, you let's know, like, be pushed he Gigi shadily, Hadid's mother during an altercation.
He shadily brings up the fact that Zane pushed Yolanda Hadid. Yeah. Right. So I think he regrets saying that.
Right.
The person that, as far as I could tell, I tried watching the whole thing, but it was really just disgusting. I can't stand listening to Logan Paul or Liam Payne for that matter.
Right.
But like, he didn't really call out Harry by name. All of these quotes are really about Louis and Zane. And then the person who shoves him against the wall is unnamed. I think there's speculation that it was Harry, but we don't know.
Is there speculation that it's Harry, or are you just saying that?
Well, because he compliments the other two so profusely.
Oh, and he doesn't even mention
And specifically leaves this guy out, and he doesn't
mention Harry.
I wonder
why a not successful member of a former boy band would be jealous of the most successful person of the boy band.
These guys love to fight each other. They love to fight each other.
But the thing is, they want to fight, like, in a boxing ring for, like, money and attention. Like,
money,
they don't
want to
fight. They're not like, I'm going to beat you up privately. It's like, I'm going to, like, stream this on, like, pay-per-view. You know, it's a weird form.
I'll make millions of dollars.
It's a weird form of, like, a fake public, almost WWE Hulk Hogan type fight threat. Like, it's not a real threat. Mm-hmm. It's a fake threat.
Mm-hmm. There was a good TikTok response to this, which was a video of a spoon factory. And it says, me after watching Liam's Logan Paul podcast. And it's someone in a spoon factory making spoons on this old device. But the song playing in the background is like a weird pitched up version of Pillow Talk by Zane. Exactly, exactly. It actually took me like a solid 20 seconds of squinting before I realized what I was looking at. And when all the pieces came together, I was like, that's good.
If you listen to this podcast, you'll know why the Spoon Factory is funny.
You have all the pieces.
What is your biggest fear and why?
I have a strange fear of spoons.
Lizzo commented on this, which this is a thing about Lizzo that always surprises me. Lizzo needs to... Not needs to, because it hasn't really fucked with her yet, but Lizzo is getting a little too famous to be as online as she is. And she did this TikTok, which she does, but it's like TikTok observations where she just like speaks on pop culture topics. And most of them are pretty innocuous and whatever, but she briefly mentions Liam's interview, but not by name. All she says is, I don't know who lied to that poor boy, but we all know he wasn't the front man. And it's like, of course she was talking about Liam Payne.
I mean, Lizzo's trying to say on Harry Styles' side.
Exactly, exactly.
And they're clearly...
Right. Oh, actually, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
friends,
because they're so close now.
Co-collaborators or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one's, like, going to be like, yay, Liam Payne. Like, he kind of put himself in a corner here, like, to be...
That's true.
...not supported. I'm sure he has some fans that are still loving Liam, but it is very... It seems like not a smart idea.
There was one moment where there was an argument backstage and someone, one member in particular, threw me up a wall. So I said to him, if you don't remove those hands, there's a high likelihood you'll never use them again.
That is such a British thing to say.
It's just an awesome thing to say.
Wait, what did he say after that?
Oh, he just took his hands off.
Oh, amazing.
Had to can it. I was addicted to Diet Coke and other mothers judge me, but I managed to kick the habit, says Martine McCutcheon.
McCutcheon. Martine McCutcheon is the famously fat Natalie in Love Actually.
Oh my God, don't say that.
I'm saying that rudely because the whole movie is like, isn't she fat? Isn't she fat? Isn't she fat? She's not fat.
Hello. Is Natalie here?
Oh, where the f*** is my f***ing coat? Oh, hello.
Hello.
This is my mum and my dad. I'm Uncle Tony and my Auntie Glyn.
Hi. Very nice to meet you.
And this is the Prime Minister.
Yes, we can see that, darling.
And unfortunately, we're very late.
Which is annoying because I feel like this actress then kind of had that in her like, real career.
Oh, it gave her a complex for sure.
Right.
It definitely fucked with her. So she, I mean, we talked about her for some reason recently. Maybe we cut it. But I didn't realize until we talked about her last time that she was in a pop group called Milan.
Yeah.
before she was an actor. Yes. So she's like been doing this for a very long time. She's been famous for a very, very
she's
long time.
She's more famous
in EastEnders
for being a character on EastEnders than she really is for being in Love Actually to anyone who's not American. Like to us, mm-hmm. you're right. She is like mostly known for Natalie. And she still yeah. gives interviews where she's like, Hugh Grant is a fabulously filthy and great kisser.
Tell us what we all want to know. Was he a good kisser?
No. Sherry.
Go on, tell us the truth about it all.
All right, I won't be mysterious. He was fabulous.
Was he?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Did he make everything go, ooh?
Yeah, he did. Well, at first he was very polite, and I thought, posh boys aren't very good kissers, you know. Maybe they're not very good kissers, these posh boys. But then when Richard Curtis said to him, go for it...
Give him welly.
Ooh, did he?
Did he? This is fantastic for me, because it's been a long time.
She loves her legacy, which is cute. I understand why a lot of people don't like their legacy, particularly for that movie.
No, she does.
But she seems to really embrace it.
But this thing about the Diet Coke was in the Sun, and it cracked me up because it says, the mum of one's crippling craving saw her guzzling 8 cans a day, which led to her being judged by the other mums at the school gates. Martine, 46, confessed, I don't really drink tea or coffee, so the caffeine in it was my thing. I'd wake up, I'd be walking my 7-year-old into the playground with a can of Diet Coke, and the other mothers looked at me disgusted, absolutely disgusted. She's not got her posh coffee cup. She's rocked up with a Diet Coke. I was drinking at the time of day before I even went to bed. I had always had a can next to me. I love that little buzz it gave me. Last year, she impressed fans of The Masked Singer performing as Swan. And she completed a live tour of the ITV show last month. So this mm-hmm. that has nothing to do with her Diet Coke habit. But this article starts with her, you know, admitting that she has a problem. Or she had a problem.
She had a problem. She kicked it. Mm. She kicked the Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. I don't really know why she stopped doing it. Like, it seemed like it really just, like, improved her day and that she loved it. But, you know, she decided she didn't want to do it anymore, so she stopped.
I know a lot of people who are in the Diet Coke thing. I know it's not amazing, but, you know, of all vices, not the worst.
I saw a funny retweeted onto our Who Weekly feed. You know those, like, water bottles that you have, like, that have, like, 64 ounces of water in them?
Sure.
And they have lines on them that are like, keep going, yeah, doing a good those. Job, and they're sweetie, always you're like almost misspelled. There, halfway there,
yeah, everything's kind of like always a little bit off, yeah.
Yeah. And you got the curly Q, like, Instagram font.
Yes.
This one said, it was filled with a dark caramel liquid, and it said, just got a new bottle for my Diet Coke. And I was like, yes, there's nothing wrong with that, in my estimation.
I don't know.
Drink 64 ounces of Diet Coke a day.
I have a friend who had a friend who used to show up to people's apartments with a liter of Diet Coke and put it in the fridge for later. Like, for himself. Kind of funny, right?
Do I know this person?
No.
No, okay. That's really funny. I mean, you were talking about this recently where it's like no one wants kegs at our age at a party. They all want to bring their own beer that only they want to drink.
It's so depressing. You know you're old when you get a keg for a party and you're like, free beer. And everyone's like, I'm drinking hard kombucha tonight. Sorry. And you're like, okay.
But not that hard kombucha. I'm drinking the hard kombucha that I brought. It's watermelon. It's 4% alcohol.
Well, as if I'm getting hard kombucha in a keg. But it seems like everyone's so picky. You gotta like, nobody wants to drink your like Pacifico in a keg.
I've never been able to get over the hump of day one of not having caffeine to like see what my body would function like without it. I've never gone more than a day without caffeine in 15 years.
She went bankrupt in 2013 and the Daily Mail wrote about it. But sorry.
I love this Daily Mail story because it ends with a little red box that says, what does bankruptcy mean?
I love that.
Service journalism.
In January 2010, she became the face of Danone's UK advertising campaign for its Activia yogurt brand. So she's sisters with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Spiritual sisters.
That's great.
Spiritual sisters. I like this Who because I feel like she does everything, you know? And that's why you have an article that's like, I'm the Diet Coke thing, because the Sun knows that she's like an interesting person.
And I know we're probably going to get like calls from British hooligans who will have some more context for this. But like, as far as I can tell, there's really kind of no, or at least very little dark energy surrounding her. She seems to be in a good place.
Wow,
even in the story about her bankruptcy, she's like, you know what? I'm persisting. I'm going on. It's going to be okay. You know,
no offense, but that's
she's a positive woman.
That's a brave statement to put forward with this little amount of.
That's why I hedged it at first. You know, that's why I hedged it a little at first. But
I just support her
positive.
Diet Coke drinking. I mean, I don't, you know, I just want her to be happy and drinking Diet Coke.
Not to. not to like tell
I love
a person
Coke.
What to do with their bodies, but like I kind of wish she started drinking Diet Coke again. Like, cut everything else out.
Truly the worst thing about Regal, where we go see movies, is that Pepsi. They're a Pepsi theater. And all I want is to drink a Diet Coke during the movie. And I have to either drink a Diet Pepsi or a regular, well, not drinking that. But I don't know what to do. I never know what to do. Never know what to drink.
I know. I got a Diet Pepsi last time we were at Regal. And I was just like, the whole time I was drinking it, I was just furious.
We should sneak in Diet Cokes. Don't tell them.
Well, you have a great relationship with the box office guy and the doorman. They're going to turn a blind
sure,
eye.
Sure, but it's one thing to sneak in food, but to sneak in an off-brand loyal soda is almost like it's insulting. You know what I mean? Like, they'd kick me out and never let me back. If they
put you on a list?
Like, if they saw my, like, empanadas, they'd be like, all right, don't sneak in food. Come on. And I'd be like, okay, next time, see you later. But I feel like if they saw Diet Coke, they'd be like, this is your traitor.
If the... What is the hypothetical here? AMC does a similar thing with Regal's clown card where you can do unlimited movies, and AMC is a Coke theater.
No.
Would you switch to them just for the Coke, for the Diet Coke, if there was a theater as convenient?
Do the seats go all the way back?
No.
Then no.
Then no?
No.
So the seats matter more than the Diet Coke?
Definitely, yes.
Okay, that's fair.
How do you
feel?
Totally
fair.
Don't you agree?
I think I agree.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world premiere of a great new soft drink. The world premiere of Diet Coke.
Introducing Diet Coke. You're gonna drink it just for the taste of it. Introducing Diet Coke. This is the one from Coca-Cola. Recall the taste with just one calorie.
Just for the taste of it.
Diet Coke.
You know, Jonathan Cheban's food god transition has sort of stuck. It's stuck more strongly than I think I ever expected it to. We're still calling him food god. I kind of thought that would go away.
But I feel like it's
I don't really know what's happening here, though.
We're calling him...
It's to get exactly this kind of deal.
It's like because he's calling himself food god, and for some reason, Hertz still wants to work with him. What I truly don't understand is... Does whoever hired Hertz, like this marketing company or an advertising agency or Hertz themselves, do they think Jonathan Cheban is cool? Like, is Jonathan Cheban on a list of like cool food people, like right above like, Tom Colicchio? Like who's on the list?
Yeah, it's like Tom Colicchio, Padma Lakshmi, and Food God.
No, I mean, and Rachel Ray, you know, like, and who else is on this list, right? Like, I just want to know. Like, Brad from Bon Appetit and Jonathan Cheban are, like, you know, fighting it out for this Hertz sponsorship.
You have your, oh, God, don't mention Brad from Bon Appetit.
Too late.
Oh, my God.
Too late.
How he was giving everyone botulism a few months
Too
ago.
Late.
Jesus. And then, but the thing is,
you think
like,
the food god hasn't given somebody botulism with his cooking? Get out of here.
Well, here's the thing. The trendier, cooler food people, the one I'm thinking of is Tabitha Brown, they're about, like,
health.
She's a vegan. Health. Like, the appealing thing about Food God, for as repulsive as he is, he will put anything into his body, even if it's just slopped out of a Hertz food truck. You know, like, he'll eat or pose with anything. And I think that that makes him sort of appealing to brands.
I want to explain to you how deranged this sponsorship is that they did with the Food God. Hertz hired a food truck with Food God to, quote, surprise Hertz customers at LAX. Okay, so imagine you're like flying in.
No one at LAX wants to be surprised. All they want is to leave
miserable.
LAX.
This is one of the worst airports, probably the worst airport in the United States of America. I would argue JFK is up there too, so I'm not being biased. But LAX is pretty awful. And you are like, get me out of here, right? Like, all I want to do is just fly out of here or take a car out of here. And Jonathan Cheban, a.k.a. the food god, arrives with a food truck full of, like, looks like cheese fries. Cheese fries?
Cheese fries.
In honor
fries,
of
chicken.
Memorial Day weekend, which I would argue is offensive. I could argue is offensive for sure. Okay.
But would you? Will you argue that it's offensive?
I am. And a step and repeat.
Okay.
And he's just chowing down these disgusting foods right in front of you, and you're just trying to get your Hertz. You're just trying to get your rental car.
I don't really understand, like, where this is. I'm assuming it's outdoors, right? It's outdoors. So it's people who are waiting for their family to pick them up or, like, a car Or is it at the rental car facility? Because if it's at the rental car facility, that makes it worse.
I would like you to notice that none of these photos of this promotion feature anyone but him. There's no customers.
What's up, guys? It's Food God at Hertz LAX. And we are feeding everybody coming into town for the big weekend. We got the poutine brothers here. Look at this. Look at this incredible poutine. Lots of cheese, fries, the gravy. We got the Koji Korean barbecue. Wow. The moments that matter are here today.
He said, it's really just these kind of moments that matter with Hertz and kind of giving their customers an experience at LAX, Food God told Us Weekly. Customers had the chance to stuff themselves with substantial food before jumping onto planes or sitting for hours in LA traffic.
Okay, if you go to the actual Getty page for this, there are some civilians who are chowing down on these honestly pretty delicious looking cheese covered fries. But it's, do you want to know where it is? It's like at the arrivals gate. It's at the like departures line. So it's people who are showing up early, I think. It looks like the departures level of LAX.
Could the airport be any more of a depressing and stressful place to be? No, let's add America's most hated reality star, Food God.
Giving you branded Hertz French fries?
Giving you...
I don't want to deal with Hertz people when I'm at the airport.
Giving you rental car franchise.
Food God makes a surprise appearance at Hertz, at the Hertz lot in LAX. So it's not even where I thought it was. It's people who are renting cars at Hertz. This makes so much more sense. This should have been obvious, but it makes more sense when you read it. It's people who are arriving at Hertz, about to wait in a long ass line to pay for their overpriced rental car because of the supply chain issue.
Yes.
And then he says, oh, while you wait 3 hours for the car that you reserved that isn't actually here, would you like some free, or maybe you have to pay for it, cheese fries served to you by Food God, a person that you probably never heard of, but you can tell is disgusting.
I'm just saying, like, as you're waiting for your, you know, compact SUV to show up, but it's actually going to be a minivan, you know, you are going to be eating disgusting cheese fries.
God, the cheese fries kind of look good, though.
No, they don't.
The thing
don't.
Is, I do want the cheese fries. I do want the cheese fries. Getting those free cheese fries at Ripper's last week, oh.
The close friend of the Kardashians partnered with Hertz in celebration of Memorial Day weekend. Like, I've never seen a more disrespectful celebration of Memorial Day.
The only place worse than LAX in LA is the rental car counter of LAX.
That's true.
You know, that's just a bleak, bleak, bleak place.
He said, let's go moments at LAX with at Hertz with a poutine surprise. Oh my God, it was poutine. Poutine surprise. What food trucks do you love? Hashtag Hertz, let's go. Hashtag ad.
He also went on Us Weekly's like video chat series to talk to what's her name, Christine Grimaldi. It's always this woman.
This woman is she's putting in so much work. I mean, this woman literally does like she's a martyr. Like they should.
I don't want to overdo it, but she's a war hero.
Yeah, I mean, she honestly, because she has to interview Jonathan Cheban in front of a sign that just says Hertz from her what I think is a very nice living room, and ask him about freaking rental cars.
Well, no, not even that, Lindsay. In that video, he's talking about Kim because that still is his only currency, right? It's his relationship to the Kardashians. So of course, Christina Garibaldi, who is, again, the war hero at Us Weekly, who is constantly doing these video interviews with these awful people, is like, tell us about Kim. Tell us about Pete. And what does he do? He speaks in generalities. He just goes, she's happy, and I'm happy that she's happy.
Kim is always happy. That's the beauty of Kim. She's been happy since I met her, and that's why she's so successful. I mean, I don't even understand at this point what this man's purpose is, but continues to thrive.
But I do want cheese fries.
I mean, look, it's working. People just got off the plane.
Absolutely.
And they're literally coming here and you know, they're experiencing it, and they're hungry, they're tired, and it's the moments that matter with Hertz, and I wanted to connect the two.
Well, you're the food god, so I'm going to let you take the lead on this. What should I eat today?
Well, you look like a girl that likes French fries. So
I do love my fries.
I'm going to take you to the poutine one.
How'd you know?
Here.
How could you tell?
You could just tell because you're wearing like, let me see, the glasses. You got like a brownie fry color outfit on. Today.
Okay. I love that chocolate
a well
brown.
Done fry that I love well done fries.
NeNe Leakes. Don't typically talk about housewives, but she's not really a housewife anymore. She's just a celebrity.
That's true.
Last time we talked about NeNe Leakes, she started dating that like cute menswear designer, Neone Cio. And that's kind of been it. They're still dating. She takes photos with him. And it's been kind of like this very normal, no drama relationship. Suddenly, she's being sued. And she's being sued by his estranged wife, mm-hmm. because I guess they're not fully divorced. But it's like, I was like, okay, why is she being sued? You can't just sue someone
but apparently you
for
can.
Cheating. But you can. But you can.
North Carolina is one of the 7 states where a person can sue a spouse's extramarital partner for alienation of affection.
Alienation of affection.
Most states have disallowed such suits because it's really just the game of love. But this is one of the states. I wonder what the other states are. This might be good to know.
Alienation of affections. It has a Wikipedia page. As of 2016, alienation of affection was recognized in 6 U.S. jurisdictions, okay? Hawaii, North Carolina, Mississippi, New Mexico, South Dakota, and Utah.
Damn.
So
New York's not in there.
She's suing her. Oh, my God. That's all the courts would be doing in New York.
I know.
So this is all based out of North Carolina, and she's suing her for emotional distress, mental anguish, and loss of affection. Okay. For over $100,000, the woman's name is Malamine Tameseo. I guess they're still married, you know?
Yeah.
But Nene has been dating this guy for a while. And she posted a photo after the lawsuit was picked up by TMZ. God, this is just like... Okay. Nene posted a video of her with Neone in a car with the caption, "Yours, Mine, and Ours," because it was playing the song by Mooney Long, "Yours, Mine, and Ours." But she... specifically put that line up there. Mm-hmm. And then she says, "A lot is going on in the world. I'm already out here being called a husband stealer, and this is just too much. Nobody is out here stealing husbands, are they? I would never."
"It's a lot going on in the world. I'm already out here a husband stealer, and this is too much. And ain't nobody out here stealing husbands, are they? I would never.
There's too many going around, honey.
A lot of single people in the building last night. So I don't think it's nobody want to steal nobody else's problems. I dare you to run it. Nobody wants to steal nobody else's problems, honey."
So who knows what's going to come of this, but I've never heard of this because it's only available in 6 to 7 states.
This woman needs to talk to her ex-husband. Like, why is he not being named any of this? Why is Nene Leakes responsible for this? Why is this her job?
Because that's the person that you sue.
That's crazy.
That's the person that you sue.
Sue your ex.
It says, to succeed on an alienation claim, the plaintiff has to show the following elements. 1, the marriage entailed love between the spouses in some degree, so the original marriage. 2, the spousal love was alienated. 3, the defendant's malicious conduct contributed to or caused the loss of affection. So that's why Nene is the defendant. It's like, you're the one who sabotaged a relationship that, before you came into the mix, was filled with love. This is why you can only do this in 6 states. Because it's so fucking
stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nene stays in headlines. That is what she is very, very good at. But, you know, a lot of the times it's for calling out, like, Bravo for actual shit that they should be called out for. So, you know, she is one of the people that's out here being like, I'm not taking money from Bravo anymore. And I will continue to tell you that, like, it's a fucked up place to work.
But I am still engaging in reality TV adjacent behavior, such as being sued by the ex of my boyfriend. Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour's over. Gotta prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Lindsay, what Quince did you get when we got some Quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the Quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow. That's so nice to hear because Quince offers free shipping and 365-day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
Oh, yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not normally. From Quince.
Normally.
And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/who. We're probably going to cut this segment, but we can talk about it anyway.
Why?
Tonka the chimpanzee is alive.
What does that even mean? Why are we cutting this? Why would you say that?
Well, I was reading this again, and I was like, oh, God, this just screams we're going to cut this to me, but maybe we're not.
What happened?
Well, this is the headline that I first saw that I was like, hold on a bit. Alan Cumming's missing co-star chimp found alive after owner faked his death.
That sounds amazing.
The bizarre saga involving Tonka the chimpanzee, PETA, and a protective owner takes another surreal twist.
Shout out so Alan to Cumming Cheyenne from Rolling Stone for keeping us updated here.
Alan Cumming was like, had to get involved in this situation because there is a chimpanzee who has been in a lot of movies.
He started
his name is
George,
Tonka the chimpanzee.
And the George of the Jungle and Buddy. Alongside Alan mm-hmm. Cumming. So
Alan Cumming
was only trying to look out for his co-star. He's not just like obsessed with a random chimp. He's like, this guy is my co-worker who I loved dearly.
Yes.
His chimp.
From Jim Henson Pictures comes the incredible true story.
My dear woman, the gorilla is an unfathomable mystery.
Revolutionary as it might seem to you, I have encountered no limits or even real difficulties.
That's preposterous.
Of a woman who wouldn't give in.
I got to chew it on.
Well, it's the only way he eats, you know that.
You realize what you have accomplished? You are the missing link.
And an extraordinary creature.
But he's a perfect gentleman.
Yes, with perfect table manners.
Your foot goes on the floor.
Who just had to grow up.
So the owner of this chimp is someone named Tonya Haddix, okay? Tonya tells someone that the chimp had a stroke and died. And they cremated the chimp in a fire pit and like, bye-bye, bye-bye Tonka.
Uh-huh.
But then people discovered that Tonka was alive.
Stop.
And has been living in Tonya's house.
No.
Like,
in Missouri.
Had a whole guest
and
suite,
he had a
right?
TV
in Missouri. In Missouri.
With an iPad.
Well, an iPad-like touch device. I think they're just like dragging the Microsoft Surface or like a Kindle Fire, you know?
Well,
whatever.
So basically this chimp was like hanging out, having honestly a great time watching TV.
The time of his
this
life.
Whole time.
The reason that Tonya did this is because PETA
they were coming
has
for
been
him.
Trying to take this chimpanzee away from Tonya for
they
4 years.
They said screen time is not good for a chimp's mind.
They said, I'm quoting Rolling Stone, faking Tonka's death was a last-ditch effort by Haddix to keep her beloved chimp after a judge ordered her to turn over Tonka and six other chimpanzees to an ape sanctuary in Florida. And she said, I will not be doing that. He died of a stroke. Alan Cumming gets
involved. Do you think the chimp is watching The Staircase on HBO? What do you think he's watching?
I don't think so. That's traumatic. That's traumatic
well,
for a chimp.
So you think he's just watching like happy things like Hacks on HBO?
He's watching like Heartbreaker over and over again.
Oh my God,
he's
that's
like,
so cute.
I heard this was nice. He's like, I heard this was nice. So Alan Cumming gets involved after all of this starts happening in 2017. Uh-huh. This is why it's old. This is why they're talking about this. So back in 2017, when the judge was like, please give Tonka and the other chimps to the ape sanctuary. She was like, no, I won't do it.
Right.
Okay?
In Florida.
Even Alan Cumming was like, you have to get this chimpanzee out of Missouri and wrote a letter to the Missouri facility. This woman, Haddix, isn't named here, but I assume that she's part of the situation. He wrote to the Missouri Primate Foundation claiming that he believed Tonka was sent to a California sanctuary after filming, but recently learned the chimp was at the nonprofit facility in Festus, south of St. Louis. And he said, I wish it had been in California. I wish it had been in better housing. Please, let's take care of this chimpanzee.
Yeah.
And it looks like that woman didn't take care of the chimpanzee.
Aww.
She just gave it an iPad and
I
said,
know.
Good luck.
That's not how you're supposed to take care of a chimpanzee. You don't just give it an iPad and say, here's, you know, you can watch Love Island on Hulu, you know? There's at least 40,000 episodes for you.
Would you let a chimp watch Love Island?
No, absolutely not. I'm
right? No.
I barely let myself watch Love Island willingly.
It starts again this week.
Trust me, I know.
Don't you always like give it a shot and then stop?
No, I watch the whole thing all the way through and just stop telling you about it because it gets embarrassing. But my Love Island heads know that this is the high point. This means the summer has really begun.
Every day.
No, it fully rots your brain. I mean, I don't think this chimp should be watching this much TV. It's not good.
The chimp is definitely, they're going to try to move that chimp to a better sanctuary.
Okay.
You know, where it will not be watching Love Island.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, well, I spent a lot of time with, you know, obviously during the film, and I trained with him for about a month or so before we started shooting. And yeah, and they're real easy. They're just like babies. You know, they're just like kids. And if you sort of show them that you trust them, then they trust you, and hopefully
when you found out you were going to do this film, or when it was under consideration, I'll put it that way, did you think, I don't know if I want to work with animals, or did you welcome the opportunity?
Oh, well, I really welcomed it. I hadn't really worked with animals before. Oh, bye.
Kaboom.
See ya. She's got a commercial. She's got to go and shoot a commercial, so that's nice. Lunch with her agent.
So unfortunately, Busy Phillips and her husband broke up. I don't know how
What kind of transition was that?
14 years.
Yeah, they were together for a long time.
People, this really fucked people up. People were really sad about this online.
Well, Busy is, you know, no judgment on this, a chronic oversharer on the internet in terms of just has a podcast, uses Instagram, like loves to be in connection, loves to be real, loves to be honest. And I do think it was probably stressful to not be real and honest because they broke up over a year ago. And I think she kind of kept that from her audience, her fans. And it must have been hard because she's talking about everything else under the sun, you know?
It's been like just very well established, right? Like, you make a statement, you're committed to remaining friends. Please respect our privacy and our family's privacy in this time, right?
Yeah.
But the truth is, like, who made that rule up? That's how you do it.
Right.
Right. She kept it from the audience to the point that it was kind of rumored. Like, we got calls about it. We never played them, but it was like, what's going on with Busy and her husband? I don't hear from him much.
Well, they also
like,
moved,
people were noticing.
They sold their house in LA accent. And moved to New York, and that was kind of like, oh, why? You know, that's unusual.
Yeah.
To me, that's normal. I did that too. I totally understand that, Busy. But
yeah.
I didn't buy a house, FYI, but did the move. But But they were like, what's going on with the marriage, which is obviously a very rude thing to think immediately, but you have to. And she kind of, although she has this 3-hour podcast, she didn't say boo about it, you know?
Until she did. She did use her podcast to make these revelations. And she said, it's been a really long time that Mark and I have been separated. And our kids know, our families know, our friends know. Mark and I talked about it. And when we first separated, we couldn't even think about putting one of those statements out. It made us sick, both of us, truly ill. It's a journey. That's interesting. So, of course, someone who is as hyper online as Busy Phillips.
But this is where it hits you in the ass, which unfortunately, and I'm sure she would agree. That's what's kind of like interesting about this, because I think she's self-aware enough about like the nature of fame to be annoyed that this is a news, but also kind of realizing
she feels
that
the obligation.
Right. Yeah. Like she's out here at the Rouse pasta sauce pop-up, you know,
Rao's.
Rao's. Like this is her job and career, you know, like to promote. Yeah. And she's only getting these opportunities because she's such a successfully online celebrity. And she has a fandom that's not just from like her projects. It's also from like people who really think that she's cool and love her personality.
So she finally did it. She didn't release a statement. She just did it on her podcast.
Right.
But I think that, yeah, the burden that she definitely felt to release the sort of statement that she herself would comment on, you know, is, I think, I don't know, kind of a fascinating thing to think about. Like someone who considers those sorts of things pretty deeply when they happen is like, oh, I feel obligated to do this. It probably took her a lot of time and presumably therapy to realize, no, Busy, you don't have to release that statement. You don't have to do it in a way you don't want to do it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But when you're that online, you think you do. And when you are famous,
you owe it to whatever. I think, you know, this is an interesting way to do it. Part of me is kind of like, maybe she's saying something because maybe there's other stuff going on as well with him and her, like with new relationships or with whatever. So it's like, we do need to like, and so people don't accuse of cheating, you know, because we are in the public
eye. That's what I thought too.
That we need to kind of like just put this out here and be like, yes, it's confirmed we are broken up. And also like, it's funny because some people really care about this and some people don't even know who she is or care at all. That's like the funny thing. It's like this almost like thick line between the two versus a thin line, a thick line.
No, there's a quite thick line. And also people barely even know who this guy, they like he is at this point, no offense to his career, but also who cares? he's quite famous for being Busy Phillips' husband.
Sure, but she did write about him in her book, in her memoir, and it was a little bit messy. And I think she, you know, obviously that's what sells books, is this kind of little bit of a messy narrative. And I think she kind of was like, I regret some of this writing in this book. And it's like, well.
Yeah. I'm just saying he's not super famous beyond, even though he is successful, he's not quite famous beyond being her husband.
No.
Like, he doesn't have an Instagram presence on his
You know
own.
What breakup I think people care about even more? No offense, Busy.
Shakira and Gerard Piqué.
I know. Yes. Mm-hmm. They're not even married.
Mm-hmm. Their joint statement said, "We regret to confirm that we are separating. We ask for privacy at this moment for the well-being of our children, who are our maximum priority. Thank you in advance for your understanding and respect." Remember they met on the set of the video for Waka Waka, This Time for Africa?
Because he's a football soccer player.
Because he's a soccer player.
And that was the official song for the FIFA World Cup. The only one that I can name. Well, except for, as you guys know, Cup of Life. We've done this conversation.
The Cup of Life.
This Time for Africa is a great song. When you fall, get up, oh, oh. And if you fall, get up,
because this is Africa. So another split that really shocked me was Michael B. Jordan and Lori Harvey's. It's over.
Well, it's funny because I saw a tweet that was like, why this relationship feel like was so long when they were only together for about a year? You did the math.
Year and a half, like 18 months. 18, 19 months. They got together in November 2020.
That person has a point. This really felt like they'd been together forever. Like, this really was like kind of felt like end game, you know?
Mm-hmm. And when they were together, you know, they did
like in its way.
They did a few of those very PR-y photo shoots that I think helped elevate, you know, the stature of this relationship. And also it was not to talk about fine lines again, but they walked the line between like oversharing and undersharing kind of well, where it was like when they did it big with big photo shoots that got a lot of attention, but for the most part they were kind of private. They didn't make their red carpet debut. This is why I bolded this.
They felt private to me.
They didn't make their red carpet debut until the Oscar party 2 months ago, the Vanity Fair Oscar party two
I'm
months ago.
I'm not trying to be
rude,
they had
never
but
walked
they
the red
felt
carpet
private
together.
To me because neither of them have like a personality that I can figure out. especially
Michael B. Jordan. Yeah. Especially
He's
Michael
like
B. Jordan.
Famously vague, obscured in a way.
Guarded.
Yeah, guarded is the word. Just, that's a good one.
He's a good actor. He has good roles. He's hot. And that's about
and
it.
And guarded. People say that she was not ready to settle down, and he was. He's 10 years older than her. That kind of makes sense. He's 35. Mm-hmm. She's 25. But
he's like, let's get married now.
It feels like she bagged herself like the big fish. So what's the problem?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
he was spotted at a basketball game looking depressed. That's what another thing people were kind of pointing out online.
No one ever looks super happy at a basketball game. You know, like when you're a celebrity in the front row
you're
and you're being photographed, everyone looks miserable.
You're just speaking for yourself.
Everyone looks miserable.
You look kind of glum.
It's like those photos of Adele looking like sad, but then in another photo, she looks happy.
You look kind of glum.
I mean, wouldn't you be? His father-in-law is no longer going to be Steve Harvey. Maybe Steve was like, Lori, I don't approve.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Okay, so how you
What's
feel?
What's going on?
We're on the air right now with it.
Yeah.
I feel fine.
I'm
fine. Damn. Ain't changed my life now. I still got to go to work. I still got to turn these corners. Mm-hmm. I still got to take care of my family. No, man, I've heard about it, you know. Wish him well, you know. I mean, I'm Team Lori, so, I mean, I'm Team Lori 1,000%. You know, she's my daughter. I love her. I support her, you know. You know, he's still a cool guy, you know.
Yeah,
from what
you guys
I know.
Have, yeah.
I mean, you know, so
lot.
I mean, it's a breakup, you know.
And
I'm
you're
pretty
right,
sure
see,
be
people
fine.
Break up.
She even made Michael B. Jordan promote her like skincare, you know, like he really put in the work.
Yeah,
that sounds awful. I'm joking.
They all did. That skincare sold out. It was so successful.
Well, we don't know how many they made. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. We're being played.
In fun and funky breakup news, Shanna Mokler is auctioning off her engagement ring from Travis Barker after he weds Kourtney Kardashian. The timing on this? Shady as fuck.
But it's good that she did it. And she sold it. There were 17 bids made for it. And she got 96 grand.
But she's had this ring for a while. To choose right now to sell
You're
it
right.
is a real specific play.
She got $96,000 for it. 17 bids.
That's it.
I'm sure that this website gets a percentage of it, just like any auctioneer would.
Meanwhile, Kourtney Kardashian was hysterically crying for hours after she broke her $1 million engagement ring. Not to compare engagement rings, but, you know.
I mean, what else are we supposed to do in this segment?
I know.
We
Shanna's was 96,000. Kourtney's was a million.
Well, we don't even know that. We don't know what Shanna's was when he bought it.
Come on.
It might have been worth a lot less.
It wasn't a million. Oh, you think? Oh, you think it appreciated in value because of its mean? You think somebody's like out here meaning. Buying this ring because
rich people are freaks? Of course, a freak bought this for more than it was worth.
The Travis Barker's ex. Okay.
The person who bought this is definitely a freak.
That is
freaky. Like there's no way around it.
I don't know.
Like a cursed object. This is a cursed object from like, I don't know, a fantasy story. A fairy tale. This is an object you do not want in your home, and yet someone spent $100,000 on it. Fought people for it. Right?
Sure. Definitely. You're like,
would you want that in your house?
Absolutely. Can you imagine wearing this and then sharing that information with people like out and about? Moving on.
Anyway, I don't know. Moving on.
We have one confirmed second baby and another, like, I'm not quite sure what's happening baby. Shay Mitchell did give birth to a second baby. That's confirmed. Mm-hmm. But Abby De La Rosa maybe is having a second baby with Nick Cannon.
But may have twins.
Okay, but
she's
you can't
very
tease
deliberately
twins.
And
she already had twins.
She says, I'm pregnant. Another set of twins, Abby teased after announcing the good news. But the thing that she's doing that is, I don't know if it's clever, I don't know if it's dastardly. But it's quite 2022. She's not telling anyone any details unless they subscribe to her OnlyFans, which is
smart.
I guess a little bit brilliant. It's a little bit brilliant because she's taking control of the news.
Didn't Nick Cannon just say, I'm getting a vasectomy? I don't trust this man anymore. And I refuse to.
He said he was getting vasectomy consultations. And also, he may not be the father.
I kind of refuse to give this man any more of our attention.
We don't know that he is the father. That's what she's going to do on her OnlyFans, reveal who the father is.
Sure, but why else would she think that people care about who the father is for a reveal if not indicating it's Nick Cannon? Like, that's what I'm saying. It just feels very...
I'm thinking that it's either that, which is the obvious answer, or she knows that everyone assumes that it's Nick, so she's drumming up publicity because she knows that this is her last time to do so because the father may not be Nick. And then people are like, womp womp, it's just some guy. And then at which point the baby is just... a nah.
Oh my God.
The baby's a who if it's Nick.
Oh my God.
You know?
No, the baby's not a who if it's Nick Cannon. I'm just sick of this Nick Cannon plot line. It's so.
But again, the thing that Nick Cannon keeps doing is taking like very happy go lucky photos with the mothers of his children.
Well, he's still friends
like,
with them.
I cannot get over the fact that like all of these people, all of the mothers, the Nick and the women, they all seem to have a very good relationship.
Never
and if that's not the case, they're doing a really good job.
On TLC before, I guess.
I haven't.
You know?
It's just, I don't know, it's nice to me. I guess I should watch Sister Wives to see more versions of this narrative. Should I watch Sister Wives? You know I do have Discovery Plus.
No, you shouldn't. I'm just kind of making a joke about how, you know, plenty of, there's like, I guess, a whole community of couples who live very happily with one man, lots of wives. You know, it is real. Dating seemingly confirmed Ari Lennox and a Married at First Sight reality star whose name is Keith Manley III. Ari Lennox is an R&B singer who I like a lot, actually. She
She's dating a Married at First Sight guy.
She appeared to have a new man in her life. He's not married anymore. I don't really know how that show works. I guess you get married or you get fake married and then you like live together and then they're like, do you want to get real married? Like there's some kind of twist about it that's not actually getting married.
Okay. I can't speak on the show's inner workings because I
can't either.
Just the thought of that show makes me a little ill.
But it did make him a minor celebrity is what I'm saying. And that's how maybe Ari Lennox met him, quote unquote met him. Maybe just saw him on Instagram or whatever.
In the future, would you go back and maybe date Iris again?
I don't know.
It's a yes or no question, though.
I can only go off of how I feel right now, and I honestly don't know.
But you told me to move on.
I did, because you asked.
There are times where you have to be straight, and you got to be honest, and you got to be open.
So that's why I'm saying to you, yes, no. Is there a chance that you would ever even try to date Iris now that the experiment is over? Because in her mind, she came here today thinking that maybe we'll work this out, and I would go home with him and make him my husband. if I could.
I don't think I'm ready to have a wife right now, and I don't think you're ready to be a wife right now.
You can't speak for me, but thank
you
for that.
I'm letting you know what I think. Okay. I'm telling you what I think because that's all I can go off of.
They posted a lot of photos together, and they got the language, which I love. Ari Lennox seemingly confirms romantic relationship Married at First Sight's Keith Manley II. Ari Lennox seemingly appears to have a new man in her life. You can just say, see, appears to have a new man in her life, right? Ari Lennox appears to have a new man in her life. You don't need seemingly.
Is kind of redundant. I do like the end in which it says, a representative for Manley did not immediately respond to people's request for comment. A representative for Lennox could not immediately be reached by people. So these are two different situations that people has here. One had a representative that they couldn't that didn't respond. Ari, on the other hand, has no representative that they could figure out how to contact.
They couldn't figure out. Her IMDb Pro didn't have enough
details. Which is crazy because she's arguably more famous than him. So you can't figure out who her representation
definitely
is.
Definitely more famous.
But somehow he has management email listed in his bio, you know?
Yes.
Yes.
He also has a cameo. He has a cameo. It's $55. He delivers in 24 hours. Maybe that's how they got his message.
Cameo under $100 is a real... you can tell how famous somebody is, which is not that famous. He also wrote a book. He's a mentor. He does like mentoring. That's what he did, I think, before he was Married at First Sight and after.
Okay. Like motivational stuff.
He wed fellow contestant Iris Caldwell, but their union was short-lived. I do like the ending of this story, which is that Ari Lennox, a funny thing about her is that in the past she had said it's really hard for her to meet men because they're scared of her dog. Her dog is too big.
It's a really cute, big Akita. It's a big
She has
Akita.
Like the most beautiful
Gorgeous.
Dog. She said, I'm bored, the Dreamville signee said during an appearance of Essence's If Not For My Girls. I'll find somebody incredibly interesting and like the sex is incredible and I'm sorry that's important. Or you're scared of my dog. Like, grow up. He's the sweetest thing. She does have a huge dog.
He looks so cute though.
I know.
He's a little fluff ball.
I know, but you have to like this. But this dog, if this dog's in your life, if you're dating a girl
it's
who has a
life.
Big dog like this.
The dog has to approve.
Yeah. Finally, she found a guy who likes her big dog.
Seems like that's the case. She appears to seemingly have found a guy who likes her dog.
Trying not to buy a dog on Craigslist, yeah. Trying to save my money, but I have to spend it.
Thanks, you guys. Thank you so much.
We got a rumored relationship that we've already gotten a lot of calls about, but we're just going to talk about it because it's happening now. Dua Lipa was seen making out with and dancing at a disco in Madrid over the weekend, and it's a star of Elite named Aaron Piper. And then later that weekend, he was seen making it with FKA Twigs on her TikTok. So we don't know what's going around, but this guy's hot.
But also, they're not even kissing. They're just dancing together. So, like, it's not like he's kissing both of them. He's kissing one in these professionally looking photos, which seem a little sus. And and in a TikTok video that's being publicly put out there. And he's dancing with Dua, not kissing her.
He's gay in Elite and, like, has a lot of gay sex scenes. And what I love is that even when you're making out with Dua Lipa or dancing with Dua Lipa, there's something a little gay about it. You know, I don't know what his deal is in real life, but he is gay on the show. And I think it's funny that, like, there's still something a little gay about even being spotted romantically with Dua Lipa.
Stop.
You know what I mean?
I mean, she's one of the greatest talents of our generation. Okay, here we go. I found an article on a website. I don't even know what this website is, but although very little is known about Aaron's private life, you should know that the Spanish actor is heterosexual in real life. However, playing a homosexual person within Elite aroused some rumors that questioned his taste for women, especially because of the incredible performances he performed alongside Omar. On the other hand, much has been said about his current sentimental status, because despite the fact that everything seems to indicate he is single, the Spanish media have linked him to the influencer Jessica, there's no way that I'm able to pronounce this, Gocheria, although this romance has never been confirmed by both of them.
Well, first of all, that website was definitely written by AI.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm that's why I'm loving it.
That sounded like an AI website.
So we so everyone is saying kind of like he's straight.
This may not mean anything. You know, like she just happens to be in Madrid. He lives in Spain. You know, like they just met.
You've made a good point.
They're
dancing with Dua Lipa is just as gay as it is straight.
Exactly. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Dancing with Dua Lipa
making out with FKA Twigs, also kind of gay.
A little gay. Anyway, what we're saying is happy Pride.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Rita Ora celebrated the Queen's Jubilee by posting a bunch of photos of her in the Union Jack.
Old
this
photos
was a carousel.
Her. That's an old Rita.
Yeah, because she's like, oh, I love the Queen. I love England. So she did that. She hasn't been there in months, I'm sure. I'm joking. I don't know. But like, it's just funny. She's like, go Queen.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I mean, she spends time in Australia a lot. That's technically.
No,
isn't
it's
that, like,
not.
Kind of, isn't the Queen still like, doesn't she sort of reign over that?
She also crowned, kind she of? Also won The Voice. Not her, but like her team won The Voice. Like, that's big. Like, she mm-hmm. won, you know, the as a judge on The Voice, she now has a contestant under her that is the champion. The Voice Australia, but whatever.
Yeah. She also showed off an eclectic style credential in the quirky ensemble as she went on a date night with boyfriend Taika Waititi, 46.
And finally, Rita, disappointed in you.
Well, you know what Rita and Taika were doing on their date night? They were talking about how much they love and respect Johnny
I mean,
Depp.
They were going into Instagram and like and strategically liking Instagram posts in support of Johnny Depp, which everyone saw.
I am so disappointed in her. I'm so disappointed in Taika. I'm so disappointed. BuzzFeed did a great job rounding up every celebrity who liked Johnny Depp's post after he was, I guess... I don't know. I don't even know how to describe what was happening.
Well, there's something just so like...
Vindicated?
Ugh. Well, there's something so why about that. Why do this? Yes. Why do that? You know, why... This is making a statement on something that I don't even think that they realize they're making a statement on. Or maybe they do realize that and they're like, we don't care.
I think they do realize it. Yeah. And that's what's so upsetting to me. And I think the thing... You have celebrities who also liked Amber Heard's post, which is great to see. But the more shocking ones are the people who liked Johnny's. The people who liked Amber Heard's, according to BuzzFeed, there's like seven
it's
of them.
It's cowardly, though, to like it after the trial's over. Oh, you like the winners, the quote-unquote winners side? Like, mm-hmm. shut up.
Well, it's also cowardly because, like, you have really famous people here. Like, it's not just like, it'd be one thing if it was Rita and Taika and, like, Ashley Benson, you know? But it's like, you've got really famous people, Naomi Campbell, writing hearts. You have Emma Roberts, Ian Somerhalder, Kelsey Ballerini, Zoe Saldana, Jason Momoa, who also liked Amber Heard's, Kelly Osbourne, Vanessa Hudgens, Jennifer
but
Aniston.
I think a lot of them like, think that it's they're, almost like they're liking something that has to do with cancel culture in a way.
Well, what you have here is like, I think by liking that post, you have people come like deliberately or maybe, I actually don't even want to give people the benefit of the doubt, deliberately avoiding the fact that he abused her. And saying, I'm okay with it. Mm. You know, like, there is something implicit with every like. And it's almost like, to me, there are so many likes. And there are so many really famous people. Of course, there are not, like, who's on here. But there are so many famous people that I feel like it almost made people feel like they had a pass to like it. It's like, well, everyone's doing it. Why can't I do it? Like, I can show my support.
After the case is over and he comes out victorious, in a way, like, it just, it's, I just think that it, your case is not made here, guys. You know, liking this
no.
Means, has no value, right? Except for people saying, like us being like, ugh.
Anyway, we're very disappointed in Rita. We're done with the episode. Thank you for listening. Keep calling in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns. Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Rita theme song. Thank you to Timmy, our research and editorial assistant, for researching and editorializing. Don't you love that people call out Timmy in the calls now?
Love it.
Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love your ratings and reviewings.
We love them.
And we'll see you on Friday. Keep calling in at 619 WHO THEM. Bye. Have a good week.
Bye. Have a good week.
Happy Friday.
Yo, they want to know.
Hey. 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 I want to be famous.